Touchdown, Los Angeles.
You are Locked On Rams, your daily Los Angeles Rams podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team.
Rams Nation, welcome back. It's your boy Bear Motter of Rams Podcast, but this is Locked On Rams. This is the Friday edition of Locked On Rams. Hope you guys are having a great day so far. Looking forward to the weekend. I've got my main man, the myth, the legend, coming in via remote from his home down in San Clemente, James Kroeger. James, welcome, bud. Glad to have you on again.
Welcome, Bear. Happy Friday to everybody out in Rams Nation. I am very happy it's Friday, Bear. Like you mentioned, I am down in my new location, and I've been migrating up north every day back to Los Angeles for work. It's been super busy, so nobody's more happy that it's Friday than me.
Oh, sounds like a rough life. Oh, no. James has got to commute like the rest of the city. Except for you're about 65 miles away, but when you get back to home, not a bad gig you got down there, bud.
That's right. But yeah, I'm happy to be here. I'm still happy it's Friday. And we got a lot going on. So
yeah, James, you're right. There's a lot to get to. We've kind of kicked the tires on the Odell stuff. We'll talk a little bit more about that. I've got a couple pieces there. I want to talk to you today a little bit about power rankings that were released a couple days ago that we haven't gotten a chance to get to, as well as some NFL rule changes that we just haven't had time because every 5 seconds the Rams are trading someone or in talks as a source close to is saying the Rams are going to do something crazy. So we've been kind of caught up on that lately. So we're going to kind of take today to kind of talk over some things that we've seen in the news, whether in the Rams world or in the NFL world in general. Real quick before we get going, guys, don't forget to check us out on Twitter, on Locked On Rams, as well as LA_RamblingBear for myself. And then James, me and him do Rams Podcast. If you guys haven't heard, we just dropped an episode yesterday. I think it ended up being about 30, 40 minutes, something like that. It was a really good episode. Go over, check that out. We're also at Rams Podcast on Instagram and Twitter. And then my main man, James, is at jkroeger3. So go check all that out. It's due today, guys. Homework assignment. Ready? Go.
It's like if you find one of them, you'll find them all. You know, we're kind of in that little inner circle there on the social media world. So just remember one of them and you'll find us.
Yeah, remember one. We'll retweet the other. It'll be good. We'll all be good. So before we kick into everything else that we talked about, I wanna just spend a few minutes talking about the Odell trade again. Sources are everywhere, by the way. Some of my favorite tweets are sources are saying Odell Beckham like Shake Shack. Sources are saying Odell Beckham will play football next year. Those are the good stuff, right?
But everybody's a source on the internet these days, even us.
There's been some kick around from some people with, you know, in the know and that have, you know, the blue check mark. And if you got a blue check mark and you're talking about sources, I feel like you got a source.
Oof, that's a real deal.
That's a real deal. But one of the things that you're hearing is this is a very real trade. The chances of this happening are, you know, on the higher percentage of good, right?
Do you feel more confident, you know, at this stage in this conversation as you did with Sue? Because I know.
Yeah, because Sue, I felt like, one, it was Sue's decision. This is more the Giants' decision and what they're going to value there. And then Sue also, you know, I didn't know really what his needs or wants were. You know, was it money? Was it winning? Was it, you know, being next to Aaron Donald? I didn't know his big concern with the double team at that moment. It probably would have been easy to guess, but, you know, so I guess for that it was, I'd probably say I was a little more unsure about Sue just because it was up to him. What these sources are saying is that the Rams, what the Giants are looking for is most likely 2 first-round picks this year, one next year, and then a player. And that player that's been kicked around is Cooper Kupp or Rob Havenstein. So we're either giving up a piece of our offensive line who was, you know, a big part of it last year, or the guy we all fell in love with in 1 year, Cooper Kupp. Your thoughts, where's the line for you? Is it, you know, 2 first-rounders and maybe like a 3rd-rounder, and that's the line. Where's your line? What are you comfortable with?
I'm actually not comfortable. I'm a little biased here on the Kupp situation. You know, he's one of my favorite players on the team.
He's one of everybody's favorite players.
Yeah, exactly. And I want to see him excel with the Rams in the upcoming year. So, Cup, I got an emotional side. I'm a little biased there. I'd hate to see him go. When it comes to the offensive line, I don't know if that's a huge focus on for the Rams right now on replacing somebody on the offensive line. I know that we've been, talking to a couple centers in the draft who are going to be in the draft. But right now, I don't know if either of those guys are replaceable. So it's hard for me to give up one of our players in that equation.
So with that in mind, actually, one of the players on the team and his thoughts on it, Robert Woods spoke on Sirius XM radio when they asked him about it. And he basically said, if you can bring more weapons, no reason not to. Having this team stacked and loaded, he'd be a good addition to our wide receiver room and our team. So that's coming from another wide receiver on the team, open to growing that wide receiver room. Obviously, Robert Woods was pretty vocal when Sammy Watkins left, saying that, you know, not only was he our touchdown leader, so we got to replace that, but he also was a very, important part in that wide receiver room. So good to hear that, our team is already open to it as well. We got a long ways to go. We're 4 weeks away from the draft. I think the Giants are going to hold on to Odell as much as they can. I've heard other people talking about they even want to hold on to him until the schedule is released so that hopefully that will increase their primetime games. So there's a lot of pieces in play here, but I think they're going to wait close enough to the draft to, one, try to see if they can figure it out with Odell and get something done, or make everyone do those last minute crazy deals right before the draft that you've seen in years past.
Right.
So we'll see how that kind of develops and more to come on that. But I don't want to go too heavy into that because I feel like we've talked about it so much.
Well, Barry, one more thing. I wanted to take more of a pessimist view at this Odell Beckham situation because everybody's so down for it and, thinks it's going to just take it straight to the Super Bowl. But let's keep in mind, a few things that could be potential downfalls, including, one, the huge contract that he's going to require. He's looking for $100 million, like you mentioned. Two, let's not forget that he had a, kind of significant injury last year, fractured ankle against the Chargers in week 5. That's just a kind of an additional negative that could potentially lead to an additional injury. And then, we talked about Sean McVay and how he's going to handle all these attitudes and egos on this team and the chemistry and everything. He's one of those guys we mentioned a million times that he's been on a winning team. And I don't know, we never know in reality how that ego is going to be in a couple of years from now. So, some of these things we got to also keep in mind as well.
Yeah, some good points there. And definitely this conversation is going to continue for, like I said, probably a couple more weeks until that one day that either Odell is re-signed or traded somewhere else or on the Rams roster. So we'll continue to talk about it. I want to get into, as we mentioned at the beginning of the show, a couple other things as we've kind of been so wrapped up in this stuff with the Sue and the Odell and, even Marcus Peters and Tlaib. I mean, it's crazy to think about all the moves that have happened in such a short period of time. Have you had a chance to look at the NFL power rankings? They were released just a few days ago. Did you see those at all?
I did not, actually.
Okay, good. Let's just kick it around. So this is post-free agency. I think this was released a day or two after Sue was signed, so that should have been accounted for in here. I've got the top 10 in front of me. Do you want to guess where you think the Rams are currently, or what are your thoughts?
Yeah, give me a guess. I'm gonna go number 2.
Okay, and you would be wrong.
Ooh, how many am I off?
You are off by not a lot, but you're not close.
4.
Keep going, my friend.
7?
Ah, too far. We're 6. The Rams have checked in at 6. They've moved
that
up
means nothing.
They moved up 3 spots. They ranked in at number 9 on the previous ranking. I'll give you the top 10 here. Number 1's Philadelphia. They had kicked in from 2-1, so they're now number 1 on this ranking. New England Patriots 2. Then it goes Vikings, Saints, Steelers 3, 4, 5. Los Angeles Rams at 6, Falcons at 7, Jaguars, Packers, Texans to go 8, 9, 10 to finish it out. How do you feel about being 6 on this list? Big deal, little deal, no deal?
Well, Bear, I think it's a little deal. I think there's going to be quite a few power rankings going around before the season starts. We still have the draft ahead of us, right? And, you know, potential moves ahead of us as well. So it's too early. I like being on the list, that's for sure. A Rams fan, that's pretty exciting. But, you know, Minnesota, Kirk Cousins, I don't know if they're going to be the same team as they were at the end of last year. So, I don't know if that one's going to stay in place. I think that you said they're number four. But, yeah, little deal to me. I want to see us at number two, you know, in the future.
Yeah, I'm with you. Little deal for me as well. These pre-season power rankings don't mean too much. But at the same time, when you look back to a year ago around this time, and we were ranking in at about 25, 27-ish. So just to see the turnaround in that 1 year, as we talked, that massive year last year, and then adding all of this to our defense and potentially Odell to the offense, if that goes through, I can imagine we're going to pop up a couple spots there as well. And I don't mind it, because I don't want to be coming in this year as number one, two, and, you know, not have won a playoff game yet. You know, like, I want to be able to go and earn it, deserve it, and have, you know, it be worth it, not just this hype train where the expectations are so high that our team hasn't really been there yet as a team. And then to put those expectations. So LA out here, we're already putting those expectations for that big, crazy year that's upcoming. But I'm with you. I think it's great to be number six in the top 10. Can't get too greedy with that. But I just thought that was interesting as I saw that released. And we're moving up. You know, we moved up three spots from when it was just released even a week before that. So pretty cool stuff.
So speaking of rankings, Bear, I was looking at some of the rankings and saw the top 10 offensive lines from last season's rankings. And looking at our schedule coming up, we are actually, you know, this dominating defense we're talking about, Donald's, Brockers, and Sue DBS. We're actually only facing three of the top 10 offensive lines ranked from last season. And of course, that's Philly, Oakland, number eight, and New Orleans is number nine. The rest are in double digits and looking pretty exciting for this defensive line.
James, I got to say, that's a good stat drop right there, my man, because that's crazy. You know, not only did we just go nutso on the secondary and then adding Sue with the Donald mix and Brockers playing great and easily coming back, to know that only three of the teams we're playing next year have a top 10 offensive line is just gets me so much more excited. That's awesome.
Well, I got, just a little bit of a sprinkle on that stat. Talking about our division here, guess who's number 27? The Seattle Seahawks. Pretty sad. Really? Arizona is number 31. And San Francisco is number 20. And then just to keep it local with LA, they are number 24. So, those guys are up there.
Nice. Well, as we keep it local in LA, I want to get back to our team here. Have you seen any of the stuff coming out of the LA Rams as far as behind the grind? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about. We chatted about it just briefly. The Facebook show, I believe.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
So but I don't know much.
Oh, dude, I watched episode one. If you guys are listening to this and haven't heard about it or checked it out yet, check out Behind the Grind. It's on the Los Angeles Rams page. It's on the video section. They just released episode two today, being Thursday night. And as soon as we're done with this, I'm going to, one, go listen to Rams Podcast's latest episode. Duh. And then, two, I'm going to go check out Behind the Grind because I'm excited. I saw the teaser. I think it has NRC going on, NFL Network talking. It also has Marcus Peters and Talib showing up to the Rams facility for the first day.
Oh,
so
nice.
Lots of cool behind-the-scenes stuff. I love what the Rams have done here. They're out in L.A. Everyone, you know, is begging for more stuff like Hard Knocks. It was such a huge success here for the fan base. So they basically said, we're going to make our own show. And so far, it's been great. So go check that out if you guys haven't seen it yet. Episode 2 just dropped Thursday night. So more to come on that. We'll be talking about that, breaking it down as it goes, because I'm sure there's going to be some awesome quotable things coming out of there.
That's great. Yeah, I want to. I have to tune in and check that out because, you know, I've been watching a lot of kind of hype videos and highlight videos of Sue and Donald and Brockers recently because I've been so jacked about that. So there's a lot of those going around online. So if you guys see some cool ones, be sure to tag them. Tag us on Instagram for Locked On Rams and Rams Podcast, and we'll maybe repost or something like that.
Well, Locked On Rams, we don't have an Instagram yet, but just talking in the works today. We are looking to get that going. So we're actually adding a couple more people to the team. If you guys are interested, I mentioned this on other podcasts. We got a nice team going of people putting up content on Locked On Rams. Actually had one of our articles featured on Bleacher Report the other day. So that was pretty cool to see the website activity going bananas. Nice. So if you guys want a platform to get some information out, want to talk about it, reach out to us at lockedonrams@gmail.com. Tons of opportunity over here. But that being one of them, we'll have an Instagram page soon. But thanks for the plug, James. I like it.
Just thinking ahead, big guy.
Yeah, this guy. One step. Always one step ahead with this guy. good stuff there, bud. I want to talk about, you know, some would say some boring stuff in the NFL, but it's going to be highly important and it's going to be massively effective into this game on how the game's played. And we're talking about the new NFL rules. They had their meeting in Orlando with the NFL owners. They've met in Indianapolis and the rules committee. And here's kind of what came out from it. I know most people have heard most of the news as far as what's going on. The biggest thing coming out probably would say is the catch rule, right? Before, the requirement was to survive the ground. That has now been eliminated. They want to stay away from Calvin Johnson's catch in 2010 against the Bears, which cost them the game. Dallas Cowboys, Dez Bryant in 2014 in the playoffs, where they said he didn't catch it when he was basically down on the one. And then Jesse James just this last year in 2017, where he got it turned. They said he fumbled. It changed the game and seeding as far as playoffs went. So big time change coming there. Basically, what they're doing moving forward now is a receiver must control the ball, establish himself in bounds, and perform a football move such as a third step or a lunge to make it a legal catch. The definition applies to players who remain standing or are going to the ground. This play will remain eligible for review, which I don't know. To me, they haven't really cleared it up a ton. They took out survive the ground. Now it's a legal football move or a lunge. James, thoughts on the clarification of this rule?
All right, Bear, so clear this up for me because this may be a dumb question, but is the rule essentially changing from two steps with ball control to three steps or the football move?
No, I think really what they're trying to do is two steps obviously is still a catch 2 feet in. The third step is just trying to say that's their justification for a football move. So if you catch the ball and you take 1-2, I guess they're saying within that 1-2, you know, you need that third step to clarify a football move. But that's what I'm saying. I think we're still getting fuzzy here. You know,
did you say every play is reviewable? Every catch is reviewable now?
Well, not every catch, but it will remain eligible for review, catching. You know,
okay.
So they're not taking that away. So I'm just not sure how much it clears it up. That's my thing. So I think they made a big deal about this was going to be talked about. But one of the things is they just took out surviving the ground, basically. And as far as the verbiage, because that's what ruined Dez Bryant and Calvin Johnson, and then obviously Jesse James in the Steelers game. But I think we're still going to have issues with it. As we kind of move along here on this, the other thing I think we're going to have big issues with, and some would say is the biggest rule change here, is a 15-yard penalty for lowering head to initiate contact made with a helmet, which is kind of crazy because I get the helmet-to-helmet. But these guys played their whole lives, you know, not so much leading with their head, but lowering their head to get down and make a tackle. So if they make contact while lowering their head, this is going to be a tough one. I think it's going to leave it in the ref's hands to throw that flag, and it's 15 yards. Your thoughts on this penalty and how it can change the game?
Well, one thing, you know, I guess we got to keep in mind is the league is kind of obligated to
make actions to, I guess, be more safe and help protect these players, right? Because you know how dangerous it is when you're straightening your head and locking and lowering your head in a tackle. You know, it opens up a lot more opportunity to injuries for those guys as well. So I think on, from their perspective, it's probably trying to make a move in the positive direction in that sense. But, you know, it's from the player's perspective, it's, you know, if they're starting to really soften up football, I guess, for these guys who are you know, these crazy defensive players in the NFL. You know how those attitudes are. You know, you can't just go into a game being safe. Like, I better not lower my head when I do this.
So let me read it straight from the article. It says, it is now a foul when a player lowers his head to initiate and make contact with his helmet against the opponent. It will cost 15 yards and could, and they reference the NCAA targeting rule, lead to ejection. They're going to talk more about this in the NFL meetings May 21st through the 23rd about would ejection be mandatory or is it based on the severity of the hit? And would those ejections be subject to replay? So there's a lot of things in play here, a lot of motions with that. I think the general consensus from the players, just from following on Twitter, is they're not crazy happy about this. You know, you get a lot of DBs that say, well, it just means we're going to go lower, and now you're going to start going at people's legs, and you're going to see a lot of more injuries that way because you're changing the way that you're typically tackle. So that's
so how do you feel about it?
You know, I mean, I'm kind of with them, man. I don't know. I mean, I understand player safety, helmet to helmet. I totally agree on. I think there needs to be protection for the players as wide receivers going across the middle and, you know, allowing a receiver to come down, you know, to get his ground before you take his head off. But I don't know, because I just think there's going to be so many bang bang plays, even, you know, from linemen coming over and trying to make a play on a running back. A lot of the guys you see duck from contact. So, you know, are they going to consider that, you know, when your helmet gets put in place, you know, as a player adjust? I don't know. There's a lot of what ifs here, and there's a lot of what ifs in the catch. So two rules that I'm not too fond of. Another one that's going into play is the permanent touchback at the 25-yard line for kickoffs. This rule was in experimental phase in 2016 and 17. The goal really was to make kickoffs safer, reducing returns. The return rate has dropped by 40% over the past two seasons. So, and with that being the touchback rate rose to 57%. So there is the fear of the mass pooch kit to minimize this, but the injury...
I didn't know you could put rules into beta test mode and see how they do for a couple of years. I didn't realize they tried that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you realized with the extra point from the 35. I mean, they kicked that around for a couple of years in preseason games, maybe 1 year before they put it into action. But I think that's they use the preseason to kind of test these things out. And they also put rules in for, you know, a temporary basis to see if it's going to last long term. This one did. And then one more kind of random one while we're talking extra points. No PATs will be needed at the end of regulation. We saw that come into play with the Minnesota Vikings big play. That was the miracle. And then they all had to come back on the field and have Case Keenum lead them in a skull chant before they took a knee. So that will no longer be. And then, you know, some are now calling this the Josh McDaniels rule, but hiring a head coach who are in the playoffs is no longer allowed. Obviously, Josh McDaniels made that famous when he agreed to be the Indianapolis Colts coach and then a few days later turned it down. So that's another big rule that came out as well.
Yeah, I really like the obvious one here, the no PATs at the end of regulation rule, because they're almost forced to put that into action after last season, like you mentioned that game. But yeah, it's kind of an obvious one. It's not really necessary or needed, and just kind of, you know, to cut the fat a little bit over there. But okay, I like it.
And then one last one, because I'm just still scrolling here, and
we got one more.
One more. We'll do one more. As we talked about ejections with the hits and everything, as that kind of develops in those May meetings, permission to have an ejection can come from the command center when they do all the replays. So there were a couple big hits last year that were missed on the field, and this now can be called in for ejection. So if Big Brother ejection. Is always watching. So if you get away with something on the field and they can't go back and punish you, they will call in from the league head office and can eject you from there. So the game is changing.
It is, yeah. It's getting a lot, you know. Tighten up the ship, huh?
Tighten up the ship, man. The shield must protect.
Well, I can't wait to see what the XFL is going to do and how they're going to change it up this time around. Because
yeah,
maybe
it's a good point.
Advantage all this.
And you never know what's going to happen with Johnny Manziel. He's been working out a bunch lately.
Colin Kaepernick.
Those type of talents that may not get a chance in the NFL. Where are they going to go? Maybe XFL. It's been pretty quiet on the XFL front, but I'm sure they're going to turn it up here soon and try to get some promo going and try to kick that thing off. So, well, James, I think that will do it for our Friday episode. A little bit from column A, little bit from column B, a little bit from column C. Let's throw it all in. We'll call it a Friday episode. I appreciate you making the time, joining us down there in the OC, posted up next to the beach. And we will be back next week. I've got a couple special guests I've got in mind. I also got yours truly on the other side of this microphone, James Kroger, which I think we can lure into joining us as well. Guys, feel free to reach out on social at Locked On Rams, LA Rambling Bear, at JKroger3, Rams Podcast. Don't forget to go check that one out, guys. And then always, if you need to reach out to me, LockedOnRams@gmail.com. With that said, you know what it is. Till next time, Rams Nation. Peace.